Miles Franklin, renowned Australian author, just 4 days before her death at 74 years of age, wrote her last entry in the diaries that she'd kept for most of her life. She wrote, "Went to Eastwood by ambulance to be x-rayed. Ordeal too much for me. A day of distress and twitching. I returned to bed." That was pretty much one of her last entries. Kim Goldsmith is a distant relative of Miles Franklin and found the diary in an old suitcase and pretty much broke out into a sweat. Kim joins you now on Afternoons. Kim, what a thing to find. Take us to that moment.
I know, just hearing you talk about that gives me tingles. I seem to have the same reaction when I hear those final words, or I think about the news that I received from our family historian when she borrowed the suitcase to scan photos for a volume of our family history that she was working on and made the discovery. She actually rang me and said, "I've got some really important news for you, but I can't do it over the phone." And I'm in Dubbo, she's in Wagga Wagga. So she drove up to me, and sitting around my dining room table over a cup of tea, she said, "You have got Miles Franklin's last diary in that suitcase." And at that point, I just felt sick. I'd had the suitcase for about 3 years at that. Oh, no, it would have been 2 years at that point. And it had just been sitting in the cupboard. So,
thank God you didn't just give the suitcase to an op shop or something.
Well, no. I mean, I tend to collect things anyway. So I knew that there were photos in there of Miles Franklin as a baby with her grandmother and of my great-great-grandfather, who was Miles's Uncle Gus. And so there was enough things in the suitcase that were precious enough to me anyway. But it was really the last thing I was expecting to hear. Interestingly, though, when my grandfather, who actually inherited those bits and pieces from his aunt, who was Miles Franklin's first cousin, he had actually shown the diary and the photographs to our family historian back in the 80s, around that time, and he'd pleaded for privacy at that point. So after some discussion about where her other papers and diaries were, the assumption was that the diary would eventually be given to the Mitchell. And so it was a massive surprise 3 years ago when the suitcase was opened and here is the diary.
So how is it then that, because this is the 47th diary, 46 of the diaries are already, you know, within the State Library, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
So how is it and why was it that this last one, this final one, was kept?
Well, it wasn't so much kept deliberately as it would have just been swept up with her personal effects after her death. And because she'd been living with my great-great-aunt, Thelma, her cousin, she probably just took all of Miles's personal effects from the hospital and put them away. Look, I think everybody knew that Miles had bequeathed the Mitchell Library her diaries and papers, and she'd been planning that. But I don't think anybody gave any thought to the fact that she was keeping a diary, you know, up until days before she died.
So what's it like to look at? Because it's quite small, isn't it? Writing gets really sort of spidery and frail.
Yes.
Talk to us about what it looks like.
Yeah, so it's about the size of a deck of cards.
Wow.
And it's in amazing condition. When you think about the fact that I don't know what happened, where it was kept prior to my grandfather putting it in the suitcase, because it has his name all over this old grey cardboard suitcase. So who knows where it was, and it was probably in a plastic bag even before that. It's in amazing condition. And in terms of her writing, it starts out in pen or fountain pen, I imagine it would have been. And there are days where it's in pencil and it's quite faint. But her writing becomes pretty hard to read towards the end. So you get the feeling just looking at the writing that she was deteriorating.
I mean, these are such a record of feminists' domestic life and what it was like day in, day out. And on the cusp of International Women's Day, I find it amazing too that some of the details that, you know, she details in her diary, saying, you know, the ongoing tension in her life between domestic life, caring for others, trying to write, needing recognition and an urge to create a legacy for the future that would allow others room for their own work, and just trying to get around all of the interruptions of trying to write in between cooking dinner and, I mean, at the time it was preserving figs and whatnot. But on the cusp of International Women's Day, and as much as we know things have changed, so much of it hasn't. Because when you read that, it's like, well, that could be any woman's daily life.
Yes. And as a creative myself, I've had friends who, having seen some of the media around it in the last 24 hours, have sort of said, you know, they've picked up on that same thing. And we've all said, nothing has changed. And to be honest, I find International Women's Day a little bit tokenistic, because we fight that fight every day. And Miles made her life around that. She was a black sheep in the family. She didn't conform. She didn't know her place. And the family were really quite underwhelmed about her achievements as a whole. I've read Jill Rowe's book on and off over the years, and I keep dipping back into it in the last few weeks, and it just strikes me how underwhelmed her immediate family were about what she was saying and what she was doing and what she actually achieved.
You're with Kim Goldsmith, who's a distant relative of Miles Franklin. We're talking about her 47th diary, which was found, and it was in a suitcase that Kim had in the cupboard. It survived bushfires, or got close to bushfires, all sorts of things. Kim, how much of Miles do you see in yourself? I know that she's quite a distant relative, but this is almost kind of, it's very personal for you for lots of reasons, and it feels like you're kind of carrying on her work a little bit.
It has become personal. I studied my brilliant career in Year 12 at school. It was a prescribed text, and I didn't really enjoy most of those, and I have to say I didn't connect with her then, although at my school, I did pipe up and say I'm related to Miles Franklin. So, of course, I got the job of giving a talk to all the other Year 12s about her. And honestly, I knew as much about her then as anyone else in the public would have. But over the years, I guess I've connected more with her in terms of the legacy of the award, because I've been an avid reader of the short and long list of the award each year. But it's really been exploring the diary and where the diary fits in Australia's literary history that's made her an actual person to me. So I've done a lot more reading and a lot more research around her life and various milestones in her life that have now, combined with reading the transcript of the diary, made her a living, breathing person to me. And I think my feelings of connection with her have been incredibly strong, to the point where I've mentioned to several friends now, I wish I could have met her. I did know my Auntie Thelma. She was still alive when I went to high school, and she only died the year I left school. But the family didn't talk about Miles. My grandfather didn't talk about her much. So I've not been able to really glean very much from my immediate family about her.
So why is that, do you think? I mean, I know grandparents don't sort of talk about much generally, and they just go, oh, yeah, that was just a part of everyday life, no matter how significant and massive it was that they were living through. But, you know, this is pretty big.
Yeah, look.
I mean, does your family now talk about the fact of everything that Miles has achieved and is still making achievable for writers everywhere?
Well, I think it depends on what part of the family you're talking about. I mean, the wider family, which is wrapped up in the Budong Society, which is the organisation dedicated to the researching and documentation of my mother's side of the family, they're certainly very proud of her. And my earliest memories of the Budong Society were our claim to fame as First Fleet family. It was a bit when, you know, convicts were kosher again. And then the whole Miles Franklin thing kind of took over. And so now it's everybody's claim to fame is being a Miles Franklin relative. But my own immediate family, so my connection is that Miles' grandmother was my great-great-great-grandmother. And through that direct line, I've had very little information. And I've got family coming to the event in Dubbo tomorrow night where we hand the diary over to the Mitchell Library. And I've had no real feedback from them except say, oh, that's a nice thing to do. So,
God, families are strange, aren't they? I mean, that's just so typical of any normal family to a certain degree.
And I think when you don't come from a creative family to start with, they just think, oh, well, you know, I'm glad somebody's done something with that. But they certainly don't get as excited about it as I do. And I've been a practicing artist for years now, and I have to say there's a lot of things I read about Miles and things that she said about being that creative person. And she was, I think, that true creative soul who had incredible confidence in herself and was incredibly outspoken within her art form, but also suffered this incredible self-doubt. And she was also a bowerbird. So she used to collect things from people all the time, which is why some of the family members and the landscapes in which they lived ended up in her books. And that doesn't always go down well either.
So what else was in that suitcase, Kim, where you found the 47th and final diary of Miles Franklin? What else was in the suitcase? It sounds like there was some fairly amazing photographs and bits and pieces.
Yes. So there were 3 photo albums and a lot of loose photos as well. I think some of the photo albums had perhaps been pulled apart a bit for scanning for the family history volume. But there were lots of photos of Sarah Lampe, who was my great-great-great-grandmother. And there was a photo right at the front of one of the albums, which I just love. And it's a photo of Sarah Lampe holding Miles as a baby. And that, I mean, there's photos of Miles' parents, her mother, Susanna, and photos of her uncle, Gus, who was my great-great-grandfather. So there was lots of photos that I guess I had a personal connection to as well. And in fact, the suitcase was full. I mean, there are land titles and there's letters that my grandfather wrote to his auntie Thelma when he left school and went off on a merchant navy ship during World War II. So
what do you do with all of that stuff now? I mean, does that just stay in the suitcase and go back into your spare room?
Look, I'm kind of like the family keeper.
Okay.
So whenever there's something significant to do with the family history, I tend to be the person that gets given it. So I actually have a growing collection of information from both sides of my family.
You need little velvet ropes up around your spare room, I think, Kim.
Well, I'm very lucky. I have floor-to-ceiling cupboards the length of my hallway, and there's one section that's chockers.
Was there one particular page or one entry in this final diary, this 47th diary of Miles's, that was found that really stood out to you?
It had to be the final one, that final entry. To me, I think the narrative in those months leading up to that particular day just shows how exhausted and vulnerable and fearful she actually was as well. So she had her social outings and she had visitors, but everything took so much effort. She was still editing manuscripts and other readings around that I've since sort of gone and dipped into as well indicate that she really wasn't even working professionally very well. So her illness was having an impact on her ability to make good decisions. So I think by the time you get to that final entry and that final line, it's chilling to know that is it. That's the last word she wrote.
Kim Goldsmith, distant relative of Miles Franklin, thank goodness you are the one that everybody gives these things to, because it sounds like you are certainly the right person. And thank God nothing ever happened to that suitcase and you didn't just do something a bit nuts with it. Kim, thanks for joining us on Afternoons.
My pleasure.